Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
From the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field, Jaguars Postgame. Final score in preseason week two, the Buccaneers 27, Jaguars 21. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. And for the first time this year, pride of the Jaguars running back, Fred Taylor is with us. What's up, guys? Freddie T, how are you, man?
JP, Mike, I'm good. I'm in the building.
You are in the building.
Good to see you, man.
I am in the building.
Great to see you.
A much improved building. It looks nice in here.
Yeah, it's a work in progress down here. In a couple weeks, we'll be fully ready.
Spread things out.
The clubs look great tonight. Yeah. The boards look great tonight. The south end zone looks great. And the team looked pretty good, too. How about that?
Right.
Let's start with that. We'll get to Gus Bradley in the locker room with Jeff Lagerman coming up. But the first team offense for the second straight game looked pretty sharp.
I thought they looked great. I thought the penalties early. Defensively mostly, then it kind of trickled over to the offensive side. Coaches on the sideline that backed them up, and the first drive was slow, but after that particular drive, the offense came out. They had the second and third series were great, just marched down the field. What were they, 3 for 4 in first downs in those two drives? They played great.
I saw three starters on the offensive line, Fred, where they're going to play. Maybe Joku opens the season as the left tackle, but I thought they did a pretty solid job tonight. Blake had to escape the pocket a few times, but there wasn't that quick pressure up the middle on him. Right. I thought they did a nice job.
You know, if nothing else, it's going to create depth, you know, waiting for Meacham to come back, you know. So those guys are competing across the entire line. They look pretty good out there, a lot better than they looked a year ago.
Defensively tonight, the interception early on a tipped ball, and then a couple touchdowns allowed after that. What'd you make of the defensive effort tonight?
I thought the defense was solid. You know, you take the penalties out, they came back in the second in their second series, six plays, the INT right there by Gratz. So I thought they played well, even in the third series. Actually, they didn't make it to a third series.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of them were out early.
They didn't make it to a third series, mm-hmm. Yeah. But they played great while they were in there.
Yeah, I thought, you know, you start get Winston off to a slow start, 0 for 6, a couple of penalties on third down, extended that opening drive. Aguayo ultimately misses the field goal. But the guy really you couldn't take your eyes off was Jalen Ramsey. He flashed three tackles maybe in the first five snaps of the game, something like that. Good coverage down the field on Mike Evans. They made the point. He needs to get his head turned around, but he was in the spot. He looked like the real deal in that brief glimpse we saw.
Yeah, tackling was amazing. Had the three solo and the one tackle for loss. It shows that he's not just sitting back. You know, he's coming up, being a part of the package. And the coaches like that. I think that was another reason they went so high and they drafted him, because he can do it all. Cover, tackle. You know, he showed his leverage, his good man press coverage, and using the sideline to his ability. So the Ramsey, I think he's definitely worthy of being a fifth pick.
Right, and that's the difference for a guy like that. You see a lot of corners that are great, athletic, can play the ball, can, you know.
But they
don't want to tackle, right?
They won't tackle.
Very rare.
A good friend of mine, not Deion Sanders, but Samari Rowe, amazing cover guy, wouldn't tackle for anything.
Well, Deion wouldn't tackle either.
Well, that's
what
I mean. It's not Deion, but he wouldn't tackle anything either. Like, I can't get ugly.
Yeah, and
tackling makes
you
ugly.
Right. You know, there's some thought maybe they ease Ramsey in, right? They might play Amukamara on the outside and then slide Ramsey in nickel situations. It's clear Ramsey's going to be on the field as much as he can handle. He started on the outside and then moved inside in nickel. He covered different kinds of receivers, showing off his versatility.
Yeah, and that's what, as a defensive coordinator, a head ball coach who's a defensive guy, that's what you want to see. You want to have that versatility in your corners. The teams don't know. No, they can't just zone into what coverages you're playing based on the side that the corners are playing. These guys were flipping. They were going to strength side, weak side, you know, and they were getting it done. So I think for the sake of the defense, it's great to have a guy that can that create certain matchups.
We know it's preseason. We know you're working on things and things will get cleaned up, but my goodness, 13 penalties tonight after a dozen last week. They had 11 in the first half alone, and several of them got turned down, you know. So what can you do when it's that widespread? Certainly maybe a few of the calls were bad, but 13 of them weren't bad.
Yeah, the two early on I think were the bad ones, and the rest were obvious, I think. And, you know, and that, when you start with those type penalties, this is the reason for the initial slow start in the first drive that led to a 10-play Tampa missed field goal, thankfully for the defense. But you can't have that. It's early in the preseason. You want to use that as an excuse, yeah, but you have to find a way to clean it up.
Man, doesn't it show you what a mental aspect of the game it is for kickers with Aguayo? This guy never missed a single kick in college under 40 yards.
Let's go to the locker room. Gus Bradley with Jeff Flagerman. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, didn't get the win tonight, but the way the offense continues its production, certainly impressive going forward.
Yeah, it was. You know, I thought the offense came out. The first situation was backed up. We had some penalties and put them in tough position, but they came right back and went down and scored. So very pleased with how they had their poise and how they responded to that and got some points on the board.
The penalties certainly affected you guys early on, and some of those penalties were sideline penalties. Was one of them called on you? And I know that it was a point of emphasis on the league, but explain to people what that point of emphasis is.
Well, it was on assistant coaches, and they're making a big emphasis on this. They want no one on the field, regardless. We stopped them on third down. We had a coach get on the field with a little enthusiasm. They called it. They came back, was talking to a player, stepped on the field. They called it. Just a big, big point of emphasis this year, and they want to call it, you know, just to make a point to all the coaches around the league. And, you know, it was good. You know, it had to be done. I'm glad we, you know, had it happen now and not in the regular season.
Defensively, a very strong start for your first team defense, but 15 snaps. But you talked this week about maybe changing it up because of the practices that you had with the Bucs. Is that all part of the plan?
Yeah, we said between 15 and 20 plays. And, you know, we got the interception. And, you know, it was a good note. I really felt like we were coming out. We played fast. We played fast. We played physical. We played tough. Now, we didn't play smart. We had some penalties in there. And we've got to get those things corrected. But I really like their effort. And because of the two practices that we had, we kind of had that plan going into the game.
Debut for a couple guys, Tashaun Gibson and Jalen Ramsey, and the physical nature that Jalen Ramsey played with in his limited amount of time was impressive.
It was. You know, I think he had three tackles, you know, I saw in the first, you know, in the 15 or 17 plays that they were in. So he's a good tackler, does a good job in coverage, so it was great to see him out there and just get his feet wet.
How do you balance winning and getting a team ready for the regular season in the preseason?
Well, I mean, we want to win, and, you know, we don't accept this defeat. But, you know, there's some adversity that took place tonight, but all adversity isn't bad. We can, if we learn from it, if we respond to it, if we take these lessons that we had tonight, we got to clean up these penalties, foolish penalties, and, you know, become a better team because of it. So, you know, that's what I challenge the team on. We got to learn from these lessons. We got to learn the right way and get those out of our game.
All right. Thank you, Gus.
Okay. Thank you.
Jeff Flagerman in the locker room with head coach Gus Bradley. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues in a moment. Jeff Flagerman inside the Jaguars locker room. Final score, Buccaneers 27, Jaguars 21. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Final preseason week two game is in the books. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a winner over the Jaguars tonight. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name for 2016, Fred. The Game Day Express, new name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. We'll get into the locker room coming up. Jeff Flagerman is in search of some interviews. We'll get to him in just a moment. We continue with the head coach there, his comments. You know, everybody's pleased with this offensive performance. So what's next? We asked this question coming into this game. What's next for the offense? Maybe they go a little longer. They did tonight, and they look good in the drives that were out there. So preseason week three, next week, what do you want to see from these guys?
Well, as a player, you know, having played 13 years, usually what happens is in the third preseason game, this is the real audition. You know, your starter's going to play the entire first half, and then they're going to come out and play midway through the third quarter so they can practice and prep, you know, coming out of halftime. You know, because the rookies, they're not used to such a short halftime coming from college. So these guys got to be able to make the adjustments. I want to see how fast they can start to begin the game and how they can transition after halftime.
Let's go to the locker room. Jeff Flagerman has Jared Odrick. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Jared, not a long night for you guys in the first team defense, but you got to be impressed with some of the enthusiasm, but maybe not the penalties so much.
Yeah, the penalties obviously were a deterrent for us tonight. But, you know, I think that's what really kept that first drive alive, you know, was the penalties. You know, that's obviously something that's correctable, but still something that, you know, we need to hone in on. But I think we have enough veterans in the room and on that starting D to, you know what it takes in order to, you know, get it together in that aspect.
Last week you guys weren't able to get takeaways, but tonight you got a couple of them. And that's going to be, obviously Gus wants that to be a signature of the defense, so that's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're getting, you know, I think we focus so much on, so much more this year, like an actual intent on ripping the ball out and picking and putting yourself in the position to make plays. And it's been paying off. And it really has been paying off in practice, and we just got to have the transfer over into games. Tonight we were able to do that.
When you're on the sideline, you get an opportunity to watch the offense. The big difference in the offense from last year to this year is the ability to impose the will in the running game. That's got to be big for the team to see that progress with the offense and the running game.
No question, no question. But as a defense, we have to protect that. You know, we have to be able to protect that and, you know, be a catalyst for them, you know, because they're going to be able to put points up on the board, and I think we all know that. And, you know, defense, our roles are carved out for us.
You and Malik, veteran guys in the middle, two young guys on the edge, and Dante Fowler and Yannick Ngakoue. How are they coming along?
They're coming along great, man. You know, they got a lot of vigor. They got a lot of fight. And that's exactly what you want out of the young guys, you know, playing on the edge. And, you know, their athleticism is an obvious, you know, trait of theirs. But they have the right mindset, and we're all excited.
All right, thank you, Jared.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you very much, Jim. I think we all need some more vigor and fight around here, right?
Listen to that music in the background. Get a little bit.
It's preseason. Oh, it'll come. Well, yeah, let's go to that tonight. That was a focus. Let's see how Dante Fowler responds after a little bit of a tough week of practice against the Buccaneers. Didn't do what he had done in the past on the practice field against another team. What'd you make of the edge tonight?
You know, the edge, I would have liked to see a little bit more. I mean, I didn't see that in-your-face pressure, the quicks off the ball. But you're at that point in camp where the legs do get a little heavy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just going against each other. You exert a lot of energy trying to, you know, get after these other guys from the other teams. And, you know, this week he got a little scrappy. So he was going fighting this week. So maybe he was a little bit, I don't want to say he was drained, but it could be a little bit heavy legs or something. So he just has to learn to maintenance, take care of his body, being a young guy who hasn't played. Now you're getting into the, I don't want to call it the dog days, the camp.
It's getting usually, late. Yeah.
But I can't compare it to what I'm used to because it's still kind of sort of dog a bone mentality. But, you know, I don't know. I like to see a little bit more, though.
I thought they got good push the D-line up the middle, especially
up the middle,
running plays,
yes,
too.
Up the middle, yeah.
Jeff Lagerman has Luke Jokel in the locker room. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Luke, offense, another productive night for you guys. And the ability to run the football seems to be the key with the offensive efficiency.
Yeah, you know, we're doing a good job of it right now. You know, I think we're finding a little bit of an identity running the outside zone and all that kind of stuff, which is great for our team, great for our offensive line. And, you know, we'll go back and look at tape. I think there's definitely things to fix and everything. But, you know, it was a successful day, I think.
Tonight, you got Brandon Leonard back at center, but then you get a new neighbor. You got McKenzie Bernadeau at left guard. What was that like?
It was good. You know, it was great to have Linder back and then Mac back at left guard. You know, we were down a bunch of guys, you know, during that time in camp. I think we were down like 9 or 10 linemen. But it's good to have guys get back, get healthy. You know, it was good to have Linder out there. He did a great job making calls. And Mac, you know, it's fun playing next to him. We're just trying to find the right five guys, the best five guys that work together the right way.
So far in training camp, all the conversation is Kelvin Beachum, Luke Jokel, who's going to be the left tackle, who's going to play left guard. How do you approach and how do you take all that?
You know, I've just trying to been having a clear mindset, only focusing on myself. You know, everything's about that process goal, you know, focus on what I can control. You know, if you know, starting off camp, if I was left guard one day, you know, I want to go out there and be the best left guard I can be. If I was left tackle the next, go out there and be the best left tackle I could be. And, you know, I've just trying to been taking that mindset, just trying to perform at my best and get better every day.
With Gus Bradley, some of the teachings that he always has, he's kind of talks about dealing with things like that. Has that helped?
Yeah, I think it definitely has helped. You know, he's a great coach, great head coach in that way. He's always, you know, spitting knowledge to his players, and he's always, you know, thinking, you know, the mind controls what the outside you know, the outside, and you know, he's always preaching that, and you know, believing that is a whole nother story, and believing what he preaches is something different, and you know, just trying to take that mindset this year.
All right, thank you, Luke.
No problem.
Luke Jokel in the Jaguars locker room with Jeff Lagerman. When we come back, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions for Fred Taylor. Final score tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27, the Jacksonville Jaguars 21. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Jaguars postgame continues. Bucks 27, Jaguars 21. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. It's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Here we go, Fred.
Let's do it.
For the first time in 2016, number one, what is the next step in development for this offense?
I think build on the run game. I like to see consistency. I like to see it improve as the preseason goes along. Next week, I'm looking for that.
All right, Fred, question number two. What's your general impression of Jalen Ramsey's Jaguar debut?
I apologize for saying that they should have took Laremy Tunsil. He is the real deal. As from what I've seen tonight, I love the pick.
An official apology from Fred Taylor. Number three, how do you fix the penalty issue?
Man, each guy has to go back and, you know, just – try and be a little bit more sound at their own position. Do your job. You know, don't worry about anyone else, but do your job. Efficient at 100 miles an hour. If you happen to mess up, get back up, do it again. But stay focused, sharp, and always aggressive.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions and Answers of the Game from Fred Taylor. A couple notes here. Chris Ivory, 6 carries, 25 yards. Yeldon, 2 14. D-Rod, 3 for 13 tonight to the run game.
Right.
And you wanted Laremy Tunsil.
You know, let's speak about the run game first. 8 for 45 yards a carry, okay, by the first team offense. I think that's great.
Okay.
Laremy Tunsil was, you know, me just looking out and saying the cornerbacks aren't bad. The offensive line isn't bad. But you have a quarterback, I think, who's going to be a $100 million guy in a year or two. And I firmly believe in protecting your investment. You know, bring somebody in here who's going to be stout at the left tackle position. And, you know, have an opportunity to continue to build with Blake, who's been your shining star the past two seasons. So protect him by any means necessary. Ramsey, great pick. I didn't dislike that pick at all. It's just that I thought, you know, as an outsider who obviously doesn't evaluate like those guys, mm-hmm, spend countless hours doing it, you know, this was me just throwing a dart out, you know, trying to take Tunsil. Taking a wild guess.
Yeah.
But the Seminole is going to be great for us. I really think he is.
That may be the true color shining through right there. Yeah. Why that was the initial reaction. But I'm glad you said that, because leading into the draft, you know, we talked a lot about should they take Laremy Tunsil, and people were just screaming, no, how can you take that guy?
And I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that. I didn't see any of that. I tweeted some stuff, and they're like, Freddie, how could you?
I'm
like, wait, let me delete. Where's the delete? Oh,
I got to crash right, the whole if system. If he's the best player in the draft and you got a chance to take him, you know, depends on how they evaluate him. They might not have felt he was the best player in the draft. They may have felt Jalen Ramsey was the best player in the draft.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my decision
at
the very end of the day, but I just said, all right, if I look at it wholesomely and getting ready for the future, you know, this guy, I want to protect my quarterback who's a stud. That's my thought. Look at Dallas, you know, they're protecting Tony Romo.
Absolutely. You know. Well, they haven't been doing a very good job of it. He's been injured the last couple of years. I digress.
You're going to get hit every once in a while.
Yeah, you're going to get hit. He has to learn how to not get hit. How
needs
to fall.
Learn how to,
he used to
up
tell me,
Fred,
you got to learn how to fall.
You maybe know. The scar tissue so often maybe will help him out in that.
Who well, they knows? Got some other issues.
They do have a lot of issues in Dallas. But let's stick with the Jaguars. We'll come
right,
back.
Right.
And we'll listen to the highlights from tonight's game. The final score, 27-21, the Bucks over the Jaguars. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score, Everbank Field tonight. Preseason week two. The Buccaneers a winner, 27-21. Well, we'll listen to the highlights and pick the Bud Light play of the game. Start off with the Jaguars' defense getting things going early. A tip ball interception, Dwayne Grotz.
Third down and 10 now from the 40-yard line. Dropping the throw is Winston again. Fires to the middle of the field. That ball's tipped. Diving interception attempt by Dwayne Grotz. Did he come up with it? Yes, he did.
And it set up a short field for the Jaguars' offense. Six plays, 43 yards, Bortles to Yeldon through the air.
Second and five now from the 14-yard line. Nearing the five-minute mark in the first quarter. No score here at Everbank Field. Under center is Bortles. Play fake, looking down the field. Now he throws it. He's got Bortles out of the backfield. Inside the five-yard line. T.J. stretching for the end zone. T.J. Yeldon. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Yeldon for the score.
Seven zip Jags at that point. The ensuing drive. The penalties continued for the Jaguars' defense. Winston found Evans for a four-yard touchdown to tie the game.
Shotgun for Jameis Winston. He looks into the end zone, fires a little fade out to the right side, leaping attempt, and that is a touchdown. Mike Evans made the catch. He beat Nick Marshall in the right corner. It'll be a touchdown for Tampa Bay.
7-7 game. The Jaguars back on offense. The starting group goes 11 plays, 80 yards, and just over 6 minutes, 6 minutes, 1 second, and this is the Bud Light play of the game. The touchdown pass to Allen Hurns.
Dropping, pump fake. Now he throws to the middle of the field. He wants Allen Hurns. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds
Bortles to Hurns, and Jacksonville takes the lead again.
Brought to you by Bud Light. Sorry, Frank. Reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Nice pass and catch to Allen Hurns. Couple of drives later, Glennon in at quarterback. He found Jones for a five-yard touchdown for Tampa Bay. It's a 14-14 game. Aguayo hit a 27-yard field goal with a gun at halftime. 17-14 the halftime score. In the second half, Storm Johnson, after a touchdown by Barber was overturned, Johnson from 1 yard away made it 24-14. The former Jaguar now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then the Jaguars' defense got in on the action late. Josh Johnson, 79-yard interception return for a touchdown.
The Jags blitz Griffin. He fires it. That's going to be picked off. Jacksonville this time. Demetrius McCray is running it back along the left sideline. Demetrius McCray is going to take this one all the way back. Is it? Correction. Let me correct myself. That's a touchdown for Jacksonville. It's Josh Johnson, 36, not 35. Takes it back for the Jaguars. Josh Johnson. A pick six for Jacksonville here in the fourth quarter.
79 yards officially, 24-21. Aguayo hit a 34-yarder for Tampa Bay late, 27-21, the final score. There you have it. That's how it happened tonight at Everbank Field in preseason week two. We'll come back with an Everbank stats check. More with Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor. 27-21, the Buccaneers over the Jags. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues, 27-21 the final. Buccaneers over the Jags, but the starters look good. That's the defining moment of this
preseason.
Hanging
our hat on.
Right? That's what we're doing. That's an easier way to say it. PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. It's time now for our Everbank final stats check, and we start off with the team statistics tonight. The Jaguars on third down offensively, 5 of 13 total. The first team unit pretty good. Red zone, Buccaneers were 3 for 6 in the red zone tonight. Total yardage, 377 to 209. Buccaneers led the way there. The Jags, after the first team offense left the field, they didn't do anything else the rest of the night. So there you go statistically. Penalties. 13 penalties, 121 yards for the Jaguars, 8 for 68 for the Bucs, and you heard Gus Bradley's frustration in the locker room tonight. Those really the most notable team statistics this evening.
Yeah, breaking it down individually, Blake Bortles shined once again, 8 out of 11 passing after a slow start. He really picked it up, 85 yards with those two scores, and the other Jaguar quarterbacks combined for a total of 53 yards in the rest of the game with 4 interceptions, so not getting the job done there. Mike Glennon actually led the way for the Bucs, passing 11 out of 19 for 120 yards and one touchdown on the ground. Chris Ivory, leading ground gainer, 6 carries, 25 yards. T.J. Yeldon had 2 carries for 15 yards and did catch a touchdown from Blake Bortles as well. Allen Robinson, the leading receiver for the second consecutive week, 4 catches, 34 yards for A-Rob. And Allen Hurns, 2 for 29, including a 24-yard touchdown. Defensively, as we mentioned, Jalen Ramsey pulling his weight out there with the 3 solo tackles early on. Earl Wolf actually led the team with a half dozen.
How about that? Yeah, good for Wolf. Deep guy in the defensive backs room there. We were talking off air, Fred. The second team defense came out tonight, and that's where Cinderic Marks is living right now, because Malik Jackson is the starting three technique. And Sin had a couple of weeks where he just didn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And finally this week started to kind of look a little more like himself, according to the analysts around here. What did you think of Sin tonight?
I made sure I paid special attention to him. I mean, I want to see where the depth in our defensive line, how solid will that be for the season once all the roster plans are made. He looked quick. I mean, he penetrated back-to-back plays, got up in the guy's face. In the run game, even as well as in the pass game. So he was quick, reminded me of the 99 that we used to see prior to the injury.
That's the idea of this defense. You got to roll guys in there. Right. So that depth is very important for this group.
Without a doubt. And if the young guys can, that the bookends at the young guys at the bookends, if they can understand what the NFL game is all about, how long the game is, because they're going to have to roll a variety of guys at those two positions in order to make this defense work, especially if you want to play some coverage behind. So I think if they can find which guys are going to be the most consistent and get things done the right way, the least amount of penalties, then you'll see a pretty good defense.
Run game, while we're on the statistics here, the Everbank final stats check. You mentioned the run game tonight. Ivory, right. 6 for 25, Yeldon 2 for 15. We talked to you in the pregame about it, and the 1-2 punch there, you like the idea of that. It's a pretty formidable thing. If these guys are both running on all cylinders, how do you split up the carries? If you had to pick head coach Fred Taylor, it's opening day. The Packers are
spotlight.
In town. Who's starting and how many reps?
Oh, man, that's a good question. It's a question I asked earlier or something. but I mean, I asked it a long time ago in the stadium. Right now, I'm going to say stick with Yeldon right now. And, oh, man, it's tough.
The guy with the Pro Bowl last year, Ivory, come on.
I know, and that's what, and then he got paid. So what do you – it's tough. But, I mean, the coaches, the evaluators, they've been in the – you know, they're going to say, all right, this guy gives us more at here for what we want to do. You know, you might start a guy based on the first 15 plays that are scripted. You know, you never know, but you want to keep those that you know the defense off balance. So some defenses are going to give you this, some are going to give you this. So maybe it's 2 plays and a play action. You know, maybe Ivory's that guy, or maybe it's a play action fake screen. You know, you can put Yeldon in there. So it's so many options, and it's good to have those options. But the 5 yard average between those two guys on 8 carries tonight, I thought was impressive, and the style of run game that they're trying to go to is going to help the entire offense, from the zone scheme to Blake Bortles getting on the edge and some rollout stuff, which he's great at. I think it's just going to create to be an offense that's hard to just key on one thing.
Can you keep the substitution pattern that they've had? Because they're playing these guys for like 2 plays, getting fresh legs in there. Or, you know, as a runner, Fred, I would imagine you talk about getting in a rhythm, right? And
you
when you're in there
in
for
rhythm.
A drive, you want to be in there for that drive. And if you call for a blow after running it 3 or 4 times in a row, that's one thing. It seems like they've really just wanted to keep fresh legs in there. Do you think they'll try to carry that into the regular season?
You know, I think maybe a lot of it right now is, like you said, keeping the fresh legs and going through the preseason piece of it. You know, giving both guys an opportunity to sort of mix it up as opposed to just doing what you're great at. And because they're going to have to each do, you know, what the other guy does. It's just that TJ is great, better at something than Chris is, and vice versa. That's just the way it goes. But yet, the running back position is tough. Injuries are going to happen. So you want to make sure you have 2 guys that can get all of it done. Regardless of the fact, but the frustration does come in where you can't get as a back, you can't get those consecutive plays. I used to get so frustrated. Oh, man. But I was older. You know, it was hard for me to stay warm and loose. These guys are fairly young, so hopefully they can find a happy medium and get it done.
We're going to come back and pick a player of the game for the first time with Fred this year. We'll review our voting procedure as well. That's coming up. Final score, 27-21. The Buccaneers over the Jaguars, and this is Jaguars Post Game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Post Game rolls along, 27-21. The Buccaneers over the Jags in preseason week two. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. It's time now to pick a player of the game, and let's review the voting procedure. I, JP Shadrick, get one vote.
I, Mike Dempsey, get one vote.
And I, Fred Taylor, get one
vote.
A vote and a half. I mean, it hadn't been that long.
You want to keep it fair?
That is fair.
That's very fair. Mm-hmm. You have some weight. Your name's on the wall.
Combined, JP and I only rush for about 11,600 yards less than you, so that seems fair.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. You set the rules. I'm down. I'm not going to say no.
Well, I'm going to go first tonight, and there's a couple of options here. You go defense. Jalen Ramsey played a good game in his first start. Three tackles, effective. You know, there was a lot of questions about him last week. Why didn't he play? He had a big week in the locker room, media-wise. So he responded tonight, had a good night. But I'm going to go Blake Bortles. 8 of 11, 85 yards, couple of touchdowns. Looked left, threw down the middle for Hearns on that play.
Beautiful
and
play.
Just continues to grow. I got Bortles.
Yeah, it's a good one. And had you gone Ramsey, I probably would have gone Bortles, put the onus on Fred. But I'll go Ramsey because it's not just about the stats, although in the amount of snaps he played, three tackles, tackle for loss, it was more about how he looked to me, Fred. He looked like a guy that you couldn't take your eyes off of when he was on the screen tonight and in the stadium and, you know, made the plays, was there in coverage, and I think he's going to make a lot of big game-changing type plays for this team and making a successful debut. I'll give the nod to Jalen Ramsey, which leaves the ball in your court.
Mm. See the grin on my face?
I do.
I'm going to switch it up, and I'm going to put on my Bill Belichick hat. I'm not going to do the obvious. So I'm going to go with Ramsey.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Ramsey. Two. Young kid. I mean, great showing, didn't play a week ago. Got right in the fire, and he performed like a vet. I mean, not a whole lot of plays, but, I mean, I was impressed by the tackling, the leveraging, press coverage, pushing the guys to the sideline, using the field, flipping, you know, right, left, playing both sides. So I'm going to go with the youngster.
By the way, I think if Blake keeps it up, he'll have plenty of opportunities along the way.
Yeah, maybe he'll get some in the regular season.
Right,
how about
that? And that was the obvious choice. I mean, he played great. Blake did, you know. But just throw everybody for a loop.
There you go. Yeah. Hey,
sorry, JP. I'm okay with it.
I'm totally fine. I feel for Blake tonight. He didn't win player of the game. I mean, you know, sorry, Blake. I tried. So Jalen Ramsey is the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game tonight. Three tackles in his debut with the Jaguars, and congratulations. Nice start, at least, for Jalen Ramsey. We'll come back with the Baptist Health Injury Report. Final score, 27-21, Buccaneers over the Jags. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues, 27-21, the Buccaneers over the Jags. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars postgame. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A few names nicked up a little bit tonight. Nick Marshall with a finger injury. Peyton Thompson, dazed after a hit. No extra word on him. Jeff Linkenbach, the offensive lineman, was evaluated for a concussion during the game. Avery Jones on the defensive line, a right quad contusion. And Joplo Bartu, what appeared to be a knee injury, the linebacker. There were a few players scratches tonight, including, for the first time, Roy Miller, the nose tackle. It's that time of camp, Fred, like you said. You know, a lot of these guys, especially a guy like Roy Miller who's in the trenches all the time, doesn't practice every day, but it's that time of year, eighth-year guy. Why risk something if there's something nagging, maybe?
Now, this is a guy they're going to depend on throughout the course of, you know, the next 20-plus weeks. So it makes no sense to push it, as you said.
Yeah, if they don't go too far with the injuries on the D-line, I mean, when you got a guy like Avery Jones that can come in and play for Roy Miller, you feel pretty good about that, I think. I mean, they've got quality depth on that group as much as any position on the team.
couple of others scratched tonight before Sheldon Day. Still haven't seen him yet. Michael Bennett at the three technique. Both those guys out tonight. Still no Kelvin Beachum. Ideally, you'd like to see him on the field before the regular season.
Got some
right?
teamwork this week, so, you know, a little bit.
Maybe next week. Who knows?
I think he's a guy who's shown some stuff on tape. Obviously, the reason they brought him in here, they believe in his ability. If he stays sharp mentally and learning everything, you know, the calls, hearing the voices, that's going to be something. You know, because hearing the center's voice, hearing Linder's voice in the different calls. Now, if they're practicing on the side, that can be a plus. That can be somewhat of a challenge. But he just has to stay mentally sharp and focused as he can and try to find the best way to keep his cardio up.
There you have it, the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Clint Dempsey and the U.S. men's soccer team is coming to Everbank Field for a World Cup qualifier. It's Tuesday, September 6th. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. We'll preview next week's matchup and wrap up Jaguars postgame in a moment. Final score 27-21. Buccaneers over the Jaguars in preseason week two on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. 27-21 final. 27-21.
You got it.
I'm here. Yeah.
Preseason.
It's week two.
Preseason.
14-7.
Remind everyone that it's the preseason.
So the Jags won the first team game tonight, basically.
Yeah, without it, easily.
We'll go with that.
Easily.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good sign moving forward for the Jaguars. You know, we're going to make this a weekly feature in this segment as well. Kelvin Taylor for the San Francisco 49ers, 7 carries, 43 yards, including along a 24 tonight.
I think we have some Gator fan listeners out there. They probably appreciate that. Not so much the weekly thing, though.
Oh, you don't want
to. Well, we're going to have to do halftime stats because he's on the West Coast. You know, we won't get all the finals.
Good
but
point.
We'll see. Right. Well,
I mean, but I go from you guys. I'm learning from you guys.
We'll highlight
whatever you want to do, I'm down.
Okay. I mean, you know, obviously you didn't see the game. We're not going to ask you to break down.
It wasn't me checking my phone to see what Kelvin did on the break. I'll say that.
I got the alert. I got it all set up. I got to get notifications on the kid.
All right. So
you
next.
You never know.
All right. Okay. So maybe not every week. We'll see what happens. Okay. The Jaguars next week will be at home again. Sunday night football, NBC, nationally televised game. The Cincinnati Bengals come to town. A good football team, perennial playoff team, in fact, from the AFC North. Under the lights here again at Everbank Field, the offense is starting to roll, it seems like now. You got your pretty much a lot of your defenders out on the field now, finally, Ramsey and Gibson tonight, against a good team, and it's the dress rehearsal game. So a big, important game for this Jaguar team against a good Bengals team.
I think it's a solid test. I mean, they get an opportunity to get a, you know, a playoff team in here, and you know, you're going to give right off the bat your rookie, you know, cornerback who we're speaking highly of him right now today. He has an opportunity next week to go against some pretty good receivers, a fairly decent offense. The defensive front, they had an opportunity to play against Jeremy Hill and
Gio Bernard.
Gio. Yeah. So there are some good running backs that are coming in. And then on the other side of the ball, our offense, they get Dunlap and that front four that they have. You know, so it's going to be, a solid test.
Yeah, they're a team that I don't think they're really known for one side of the football more than the other. Just a balanced squad,
right.
You know. And I think maybe even more so for their defense this year because they lose Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu. They replace him with Tyler Boyd. He's a rookie, though. And mm-hmm. Brandon LaFell has just been okay. And right now Eifert is hurt, who scored 13 touchdowns last year at tight end. So they're going to be a little bit undermanned
right.
offensively
mm-hmm.
coming in. But, you know, they're a team with a lot of experience winning a lot of games in the last – 4 or 5 years, however long Andy Dalton's been in town.
Yeah, right.
However many, they seem to go to the playoffs almost every year that he's been in the league. So,
but then they go to the playoffs.
They
participate.
Don't right now, doesn't that sound good?
I mean, it would be nice to participate.
It'd be nice to get to the point where you're upset that your team is going to the playoffs every year and not getting far enough.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
That'd be pretty good.
What is that like? I don't even know.
Well,
it's pretty nice.
I have an opportunity this year to see what it feels like.
You want to go ahead and call it? No, it's a week to the preseason.
Give him two more weeks.
We'll wait.
I was in the breath. I was almost out.
I wanted to save you there.
It was almost out. Because I will call it.
I know you will.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll hold off on that, though. So, hey, good You're about to do it.
No.
Okay. So good to see you, Fred.
It was great to see all of you.
And we'll do it again next
week.
Mean that.
We're back at it.
There he goes, Fred Taylor. Doesn't he look small to you, though? He looks tiny, this guy. He's losing all this weight.
Yeah, I know. He's like on the plane.
He doesn't look small. I mean, he looks –
I've been in the lab.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, I really think if I go back to about 210 pounds, I can come out of retirement and run on our Olympics 4x1.
4x1 for you?
Wow.
In Tokyo, 2020.
At 41 years old. No, I'll be 44. No, I'm going to retire already. I'm done. Scratch that.
If you're in Jacksonville on the flagship station 1010XL, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is next. The phone lines will be open. Jags Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. The manager of radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Final score from Everbank Field. The Buccaneers win it 27-21 over the Jags on the Jaguars Radio Network.